How do you find in your area the sort of spiritual dynamics are with heavenly encounters and that type of thing?
I'm in Richmond, and I think most of us are still trying to operate around here from below to above instead of above to below. You see, still the old system whereby you just come down, Lord, come down here and fill us with your spirit. You know, trying to operate from below is we haven't yet changed the perspective of operating from above to below.
And so, are there many people who are seeking similar type of encounters or?
There are people who have had encounters, angels or seeing Jesus, but it's actually these people coming to us rather than we going to them. You see, the we haven't got I don't think anyone has realized yet that we can actually go up to God instead of trying to get him to come to us.
And there's no one really sort of teaching or, I mean,
I
obviously.
haven't met a single person in London who has actually been up, you know, can go up at will. So I'm actually looking to people like yourself and Justin Abraham and Ian Clayton and the rest of the guys in America and so on.
So how about you, Daniel?
Well, I'm at a secular university, so I've got a lot of Greek mindset going on, which is just lovely. It was a long day today, so I'll be a bit snarky. But there's nobody I find really. There's one guy who's open to hearing it from me, but I don't know how interested he actually is. Apart from that, not really. I'm connected to people, like there's people I know, the twins in Manchester, Jack and Chris, I think you met them, and Atlee down in London as well, and obviously like Justin and Ian as well, but locally, not really. There's not a lot.
Well, part of trying to get together with guys in the UK was just to see whether there was an interest in sort of a mentoring group in which I could do anything I could to try and support and help people in these sorts of things. I sort of hang out with three or four groups in the States who are all hungry for the similar type of experiences, and we hang out sort of regularly once or twice a week with different groups. So I was really just interested to see what the desire was or the need was in the UK. I sort of also hang out with a few people in Germany as well. But I haven't sort of initially a lot of the people I had contact with were from the US and they were getting buying resources off our website and stuff. So a couple of them asked whether I would be prepared to sort of use the forum, which to answer questions, which I tend to do passively and answer people's questions when they ask them. But I felt a couple of months ago really that God wanted me to be a bit more proactive about it and to see really whether I could, offer help for people in the situations you're in, really, where you have not got people around you or groups of people that are pursuing it together. Here in the church here, I've sort of taught a lot of people to engage over the last 2 or 3 years. So we've got quite a number of people who are very active and are engaging daily in those type of encounters. And I'm sort of do regular mentoring groups twice a week with a couple of different groups. Just basically practicing and helping them engage with the exercises and those type of things. So really, so that's really the reason for looking to get together was really just seeing whether there was an interest for that type of mentoring, you know, whether it be on a monthly basis or a couple of weekly basis or whatever, really whatever people felt. So yeah.
I think a lot of people are not, since this is mostly new, it's new to most people that we can actually go up into Lord's presence instead of asking him to come down. So I think once people see the potential of engaging with God at that level, there will be interest.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know about this as yet, so
sure.
It's just a matter of changing our perspective, and it's actually something that we can do, and it's not something we have to wait until we have a covenant with death. The English says, until we die, one someday when I die, that I'll be able to.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, okay.
To engage, so.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so where are you? Where are you personally? Have you both sort of engaged in different sorts of encounters? Are they involuntary encounters, voluntary encounters? How does it work for you guys?
Most of my encounters are involuntary. I've been trying to doing the stepping in exercise as you did, and I've been doing stuff like that, just going into the courts, but it's mostly I haven't actually seen anything much, but just practice.
All right. Okay. What about you, Daniel?
I've been practicing stepping in and a few different things as well. For me right now, it's kind of complicated. It's almost like I feel like lots of different things are slowly starting to come together into one sort of thread. So it's all been about kind of like lightning and stuff like that, and recently about Mount Zion.
All right.
So a couple of like stepping in and then seeing something and then spending a period of time revisiting it, like going back and revisiting it.
Yeah.
So that's been what's been going on recently. But right now it's kind of all very up in the air, kind of confused, you know?
Sure.
Which is not bad, but it's just what it is.
Okay. So, I mean, is there... personally, obviously, over the last 3 years, I've learned how to engage and step into that realm at will. But it has taken practice, but it also, I think, is understanding how you see in the spirit, and that I think is a major topic which people get confused over, because I know everyone wants to see visually, and so it's like a first person encounter where you're there and that goes on, which yeah, I mean, it does happen quite a bit. But the word see in the English language has a very defined meaning, which means it's visual, whereas in the Greek and the Hebrew, it actually encompasses all the senses. And so a lot of people get sort of hung up over, well, I can't see anything visually, or I'm just imagining it, or I'm trying to use my imagination, and that's not really very working too well, and things like that. And I think that I think creates a lot of blockages for people, because at the end of the day, what you want is to encounter God so that your spirit and then your cognitive senses get a revelation of what he's saying, what he's doing, what you want to do, what you need to do, that type of thing. And so my experience over a number of years, it started with not being very visual. I was very left-brained, came from a scientific background, and didn't really see things other than in times of fairly good worship, where occasionally you get pictures, or you get a prophetic picture, or that type of gift of the Holy Spirit would give you a sort of a prophecy, or that type of encounter where it was like God was coming to you and you were getting a revelation that you then could bring to people, words of knowledge and things like that. And I, probably about 10 years ago, God spoke to me, not in an audible voice, but in a voice that I, small, still voice on the inside, if you like, and basically challenged me over how I engage with him in the Bible. And, you know, I've sort of taught for a lot of years, and so I learned how to study the Bible and produce teaching from it and revelation like that. But he spoke to me and said, you know, why do you use your Bible like a filing cabinet? And I was sort of like, what? What are you on about? And so he said, well, open it. And as I opened it, it was full of highlights and underlines and things like that. And I really felt him say, how many of those things you've underlined and those things I prompted you to look at, how many of them are you actually living? And so then the penny dropped, and it was like, ah. So I'm filing all the things that God has spoken to me away, and I'm using them to teach people, or I'm using them for personal revelation, but how many of them are actually part of me, and how much do I live? So I set out on a mission to learn how to meditate in the Bible rather than to read it or to study it or to use it for producing sermons and things. And in that, I just began to learn how to meditate. So I would take a scripture or a couple of scriptures and just begin to speak over those scriptures, to speak them out to myself, and then to allow the thoughts of God to come into my mind. And what I found, having practiced that and done that for quite a while, I found that I was receiving a flow of thoughts which weren't mine. And so the first way that God really started to communicate to me in a very personal way was like that. And I spent a number of years just reading the Bible completely differently. You know, I would spend sometimes a week or month in one verse and just getting revelation after revelation, because I just kept going until I'd exhausted it almost. And so that became a very different way for me to encounter God. And so that then became much more of a two-way conversation. So I would start asking God things about his word, and at that point it was mostly still around the word of God and still around him as a person. And so I began to explore that, and it became just second nature. So, you know, whenever I encountered the word, it would be like God speaking to me. And so then that began to develop into then me speaking to God and then hearing what he was saying. And it became sort of quite real for me. And then in about 2005, I went to a conference in London, which was a Faith Works conference. We do a lot of social action, and we do a lot of working with we have a day center that works with homeless and addicted, and we run a rehab and things like that. So I went to this Faith Works conference, and it was all about social enterprise and having work opportunities for people, that sort of thing. I wasn't expecting anything more, but I went to one of the morning seminars. And the guy came in the seminar, and he said, I really feel that God wants to do something different today. I'm not going to do the seminar that I was down to do. I just feel I need to do this. And I was really quite miffed, because I'd come a long way to London to hear seminars about certain things. And this guy was talking about, well, I think we're going to visualize something of Jesus, and we're going to, because he wants us to enter a place of rest today. So I'm like, I wasn't very pleased, but God spoke to me and said, I did that for you. So it was like, I repent. I'm really sorry. And so this guy just led an exercise about Jesus and Jesus walking on the beach. And just, he said, close your eyes and just picture a beach, which is really easy for me because I come from a seaside town with loads of beaches. So I was able to picture a beach. And then it was like Jesus was walking along the beach, and he's walking up towards you, and so I just was able to see it, you know, as a visionary type picture in my imagination, in my mind. And I'd never done that before. You know, I'd had visions and I'd had encounters in different sort of prophetic type things, but I'd never deliberately chosen to try and picture and visualize the Bible or a scripture or Jesus himself or God. So that again, that began then open up another season where I then began to read the Word of God and I began to meditate on God himself and begin to see things. And they were just in my imagination. They weren't anything that I would say was a first-person type encounter, but that was something which began to build up. And then I began to teach some other people here similar things, and we looked at the whole prophetic things and how to see and have pictures and visions, and we began to actually focus on that a little bit. And from there, I had a I was one Monday evening, I was at my desk, and I stayed later because we had a prophetic meeting that evening, and we were going to come, and I was just spending some time just quietly in the presence of God at my desk, and it was like my desk opened up into a portal, and I went through this portal. I mean, I didn't physically go, but I went, so I was unaware of my surroundings and my situation, and I found myself standing in front of the river of fire in heaven. And this river was flowing down, and I was looking up and seeing like there was a throne up above it. And I was thinking, "Oh, I want to get to that throne," you know. And I was really, really surprised because, you know, I'd never experienced anything like that. And then I entered a whole encounter where, you know, I saw some steps which I now know are firestones, and those steps were going up. And I sort of stepped on the steps and became part of the step, and I could see into the atomic fabric of the steps. It was still really weird, a really weird experience, you know, having not seen anything like that before. But I went with it, and eventually, I don't know how long this went on, but eventually I got to the top of the steps. And I saw the throne of God, just the bottom of it, with the feet of God, and I couldn't look. I could not look at him. And I was sort of like, I wouldn't say it's fearful, but I just couldn't look. But I saw going off in the distance next to his throne a whole row of thrones. So it came to me, I thought, oh, I must have a throne there somewhere because I know the scripture.
Seated in heavenly places.
Yeah, seated in heavenly places. So where's my throne? So I started walking along these thrones and looking, and I recognized a couple of people that were there, but that was as far as it went. You know, it was like most of them were empty. But I carried on walking, and I came to what I knew. I just knew was my throne. It didn't have my real name on it, but it had a name of something that God had spoken to me about in the past. So I just knew it was my throne. So I thought, okay, I'm going to sit down. So I sat on this throne, and I'm there looking. And then in front of me, this big screen opens up, like a big oval screen. And I'm looking through this screen, and I'm seeing a familiar scene, a familiar place in the earthly realm, but I'm seeing it in crystal clear, you know, clarity of everything. It was like a 3D, just amazing colors. You know, it was like the latest, better than high definition. Now it's 4K, isn't it?
4K.
4K. So it's like, and it was really real. And I'm sort of looking intently, seeing Earth from a heavenly perspective. And then this screen just revolves in front of me, I'm just like looking at this gray, the same picture, but really gray and colorless and dull. And it was like, you know, and I just felt, okay, so that's what it looks like when you look at it from an earthly perspective. But when you look at it from a heavenly, it's completely different. So I'm sort of like really sort of trying to take this in, really. And then then I see this angel, and this angel appears and says, I need to show you this. So he took me off, and he showed me this big portal open up, and I just saw this light and gold and light and stuff pouring down in this portal. And he said, well, that's what it's like when you get a small portion of revival. You know, and, you know, we had lots of sort of revival type experiences at that point, but and so I'm sort of looking at this thinking, wow, you know. And then the angel takes me, says, all right, I want to show you something. So he takes me down, and I feel like I'm falling right down through the atmosphere, and I come and I see these demonic creatures. They look like sort of pigs, really. They're weird looking things, and they just block off this portal, and it all closes down, and I really feel really indignant. And I was like, how dare they do this? You know, and I thought, well, how did they do that? And they said, because basically you let them and people let them. So I think, argh. And then I sort of come out of this encounter and I'm back at my desk and I'm like, whoa, what was that? You know, so that was my first sort of, I would say, encounter with heaven. And so I wrote it all down and I journaled it and I sort of detailed it all, and I thought, oh, I need to go back. And could I go back? No matter what I tried, I couldn't go back. I had a number of visions that came after that, which were relating to experiences, but I tried to go back, couldn't go back, but I had a real desire in my heart because now I knew there was something more. And it wasn't until, you know, that was 2008, I think. It wasn't until 2010 that I was given a prophetic word by a friend of mine from Folkestone, a guy called Mike Bryant, and he sent it me in the post. It was a written word, and one of the things it said was, you know, I've seen the desires of your heart, and effectively, I'm going to show you the things that you desire, and basically it was like it said, come up here. So I'm like, oh great, you know, I'm being invited back, you know, to this place in heaven, which was really exciting. But it was like, how, yeah, how do I do it? Because I can't sit at my desk just hoping it's going to happen again, you know. And I'd sort of read Patricia King's stuff about the glory realms and things, and I'd sort of did what I could to pursue it, but I wasn't actually getting any sort of any further with it. So on the envelope of this prophetic word, it said, "I'll read this once a day for 6 weeks." So I thought, okay, I'll read it. So I started reading it and meditating on it, and then I went to a conference for a few days in Torquay, which is just 75 miles away. And on the way to the conference, God spoke to me and just said, "This time is for you and me." And I thought, oh great, you know. And I felt him say, you know, don't talk to anybody, don't bother about ministry, don't bother ministering to anyone, just come and meet with me. So I went, and I engaged with the worship in a totally different way, and it's like the whole heart got sort of just transformed, really. My desire for God just multiplied. And I, on the way back, I felt God say, I want you to do a 40-day fast. So I was like, okay. You know, it wasn't a sort of a shock, but it was like, okay, I've done a 7-day fast before, so 40 days is going to be a bit longer than that. But I sort of came back, shared it with our leadership, and they said, oh yeah, go for it. You know, and we'll, as a church, we'll fast as well, and people fast each day just to keep you company in it and with stuff. So that's what I did. In August 2010, I went on this 40-day fast. And, you know, God spoke to me before I went on this fast. And he basically said this was not going to be an easy time. You know, he's like, there was a crucifixion of the flesh that needed to take place. So I'm thinking, oh, okay. So I go into the fast. I shut myself away in a room, basically, and just start repenting and doing what I think in whatever, what can I do, you know. And I took a lot of books and things in there with me, and I just spent time with God, and for the first couple of weeks it was like I had a lot of revelation from the Word and revelation about things which now I understand, and I just journaled everything, wrote it all out, and blogged it to the church so that they could sort of see what was going on. And but every night I just was like, I couldn't sleep, and it felt like my body was burning, like my bones were on fire. It was just an intense heat, you know, and I couldn't sleep, and it was like, I was just like, whoa, this is, and my head wasn't burning, just my body, everything, the rest of my body. So I went through, I repented of everything I could possibly think of. It's like, I thought, if anything's blocking me engage in heaven, I'm just going to repent of it. And I tried doing everything I could, and God sort of spoke to me in the morning and said, right, I want you to pray in tongues for an hour every morning just to start off the day. And it's like, okay. And it was really weird because I was trying not to think of anything while I was praying in tongues, because I was just trying to pray in tongues. And it's like, and then I think the light bulb came on, and it was like you're supposed to think while you're praying in tongues, because you're supposed to meditate and allow your spirit to engage with what you're thinking about. So it was a really interesting few weeks. And then basically I think it was on the 18th or 19th day, I was lying down on the settee thing which was in the room, and basically I just went into a trance and just lost complete senses of my body. Found myself standing in heaven, had a quantum physics lesson by the Holy Spirit, just took me out into the stars and told me about string theory and weird stuff. I mean, just, about light and zero point energy and just all sorts of really weird stuff in terms of quantum physics. And because I was a biochemist, I really didn't like physics because it was too theoretical for me. I like hands-on, cutting things up or making things in the lab. So physics was a little bit sort of, it's a bit out there. And so I had this whole thing, and I heard these sounds of heaven, and it was just, and a really amazing encounter. And it went on a long time. And I was taken back in time, and I saw creation, and it was just like I saw the first creation and just different things. It was just a really, really amazing experience. And I eventually came out of this experience, and then basically it took me 3 hours to write it out. At the end of it, my hand was just numb. I was trying to write all, because I thought, I don't want to forget any of this, you know, I'm going to write it all out, I've got to write it out and everything. So it was quite a powerful encounter. And so I came out of it like thinking, wow. And God spoke to me and said, you need to go and see Ian Clayton. And I'm like, well, I've heard of Ian Clayton. And I've heard of him, you know, I saw one of his videos talking about transfer relocation and that sort of stuff. And then, so I went online and found that he was in Torquay that night for 2 nights. So I emailed out everyone in the church saying, would anyone like to go and hear Ian Clayton? And if they would like to, would they take me? But by this time, I was physically having 19 days with just water. I'd lost sort of about a stone and a half, and I wasn't looking forward to driving. So, but a bunch of guys said, yeah, we'll go. And so we went down, and it's like Ian Clayton was in one of his machine gun moods, and he just started firing out revelation. You know, it wasn't like one subject. It was just like every subject. And so I was there, and I was taking notes, and it was just like everything he was saying was stuff I'd seen that day. You know, and it was like, wow, this is, but I was just like, no, I mean, I didn't even talk to him. It's like I sent someone else to go and talk to him and see if he would be interested in coming over the following year. But it was just an amazing confirmation of so many things. And so then I downloaded some of his stuff, on the very basic stuff in terms of the gateways and that sort of thing, which sort of, that's for the next 3 weeks. Then in the fast, I went and looked at dealing with all the blockages and opening up my spiritual gates and connecting with God in the garden and things like that. And that was really how it all started. And then from that day, I had heavenly encounters every day. I had 87 specific visions and actual sort of third person, first person encounters. So I journaled them all, wrote them all down. I had encounters in the courtroom and loads of what I would now see as forerunner experiences. I had no idea where I was, no idea what was going on. I was just like open mouthed, taking it all in. But I did have a lot of times where Jesus just sat down with me and spoke to me face to face. And he would just say, "What do you want to know?" And I'd be like, "Well, how did you do that miracle?" You know, things would just pop into my head and I would just ask him. And he would tell me. And he would explain it in quantum physics terms. He would explain it in, and I was like, "Wow, yeah, I understand that." And it was like really, really sort of interesting. And I had loads and loads and loads of those type experiences. You know, spent time, went into the Garden of God, into the River of Life, encountered the Tree of Life. Just lots of experiences that, you know, I've now gone back over lots of the times and, you know, drawn out the revelation of it and taught other people to go there and things like that. And that really was sort of, it brought me to the point of, okay, now I could hear the flow of the thoughts of God. I could see things and I'd also visited. So it's like it'd gone from vision to visitation. So I thought, okay, this now is sort of seems to be more complete. But subsequently to that, you know, I've over the last now 2 or 3 years, I've taught people, you know, how to engage, how to build their spirit, how to connect their spirit, step in and step out, but actually to engage in that, taught people how to go to the courts, go to the different court systems, Tree of Life, and we've done lots of, you know, practice things where now really we're at the stage where I'm trying to get people to sit on their thrones and identify what mountains they've got, what thrones they've got, how to rule there. Because a lot of encounters, I found there's like two pathways really. There's the pathway of relationship where you need to establish that intimacy with God and you need to establish the fact that, you know, we're a house of God, that God dwells in us, that we're a gate of heaven, that we're connected to heaven, that there's a flow of the River of Life, and we're connected to the throne of grace and all that type of stuff. And so there's a lot of emphasis on, you know, building your own garden, cultivating it, planting it, connecting with God there. You know, so I use things like, you know, Psalm 23 and, you know, the Lord is my shepherd and that type of thing, really just to engage there and taught people how to do that. But over the, I guess, the last 8 or 9 months, I have, looked to actually begin to try and get my spiritual eyes functioning. Because basically everything functions in your head. You know, if you're seeing something now and you're looking at the screen, you're just getting light that comes into your eye and goes on your optic nerve and sends electrical impulses up to your brain, and you have an upside down image in your brain somewhere, which your brain interprets. That's how your natural sight works. The eyes of your heart is no different. There's a screen, your imagination, that has images projected onto it, either by God or by ourselves. It's our imagination. We can use it. We can activate it. You know, and most people, I think, to start with, you know, are sort of saying things like, "Well, oh, I find it really hard." But I said, "Well, okay, close your eyes and imagine your front door." And most people think, "Oh, yeah, I can do that." And I said, "Well, then you can activate your imagination and imagine anything. You know, it's really not difficult. We just got to get our head out of the way, and don't let the enemy lie to us and say, "Oh, that's just a figment of your imagination," or "It's just you're just making it up." Or "It's just in your head." Well, everything's in our head. you know, that's where we get any sort of information and any sort of revelation. Actually, whether it comes into our spirit or into our heart, wherever it comes, eventually it has to be interpreted in our mind, into our conscious thought. And so we might as well just get used to that's where it goes on, and learn to understand how the flow of information comes. And so whether it comes in a visual sense, whether it comes in a sense of thoughts or impressions, it doesn't really matter. The most important thing is you just get a flow of the revelation that you can then know where you are or what you're doing or whatever. Whether you see it as a visionary thing or not, I found doesn't really matter much. It's actually just knowing in your spirit. So your spiritual eyes operate differently from your natural eyes. And how it works for me, it's like when I began to try and I know Ian sort of does some exercises where it's like, okay, close your eyes and it's like you see a black screen. Try and actually see your hand with your eyes closed. So look at your hand, visualize it, close your eyes. Can you still see it? No. No, I can't. It was like, okay, can I imagine it? Yeah. But can I see it? No. Okay. So then it was like, okay, well, then visualize your hand, visualize it taking that black screen and pulling it back like a curtain, so that the eyes of your spirit, which is just normally black, becomes something where you can see. And I started to teach some people this, and people were starting to see things. I didn't really see an awful lot. I sort of saw light, and I generally see portals of things. But I was beginning to activate the eyes of my spirit. And then it dawned on me that I could see in the realm of the spirit. And I think, and it was like, particularly when we had worship times, I was starting to see angels, and I was starting to see portals open up, and I was starting to see the different things, seven spirits of God, all sorts of stuff. But I wasn't seeing it visually, but I could describe it to you. So I was able to describe what was going on in the spiritual realm around people. I could see the colors people were giving off. I could sense the angels that were around them, their own personal angels that were with them. And I could describe those angels really easily, and it was just like, oh, so that's what being able to see with your spiritual eyes is. I just know what's there and I can describe it in detail, but I'm not actually seeing a vision. So I can do that with my eyes open. And I have had a couple of things where I have, with my eyes open, actually physically seen angels. One of them came across, I was preaching on a Sunday morning, and out of the corner of my eye, I could see all this color that was swirling around. And it sort of like got my attention. I'm sort of looking, and I carried on speaking, but I was my attention was elsewhere, and I was seeing this stuff, and it suddenly started to move, and it was this Kashmelian angels and all the colors and all those things, and they came right across me, right in front of the screen of my laptop, so I couldn't see it. And at this point, I'm really freaked out now, and I'm like, I can't see. And I thought, am I going to faint? Am I getting faint? And I feel perfectly okay. I just can't see other than these colors that are right in front of me. So I carried on speaking, but I don't know what I said because I was completely aware of something else. And then it sort of moved off to the side, and I was like, ooh, it's gone. So that was really interesting, and I thought, I sort of asked God, well, what did you do that for? It was really distracting, So he said, well, you asked to see. So you got to be prepared to see when you need to see. So I'm like, okay. But it sort of, the whole thing now, I can activate that. And I like parables. And so I asked God to show me how this works. And so how he described it to me was like sonar. You know, sonar sends out a ping of sound into water, and the water carries it 4 times faster than it can carry it in air, and it hits an object, and the echo of that sonar comes back, and you pick it up, detect it, and read it on a screen. So you can see another submarine, or you can see a shoal of fish, or rocks, or whatever. And that's what God said to me. He said, because you've been activating your spirit and getting your spirit to flow through the gates of your soul, and you've been opening those gates and purifying them and cleansing them and all that stuff, then you've created an atmosphere of the spirit, like the river of life flowing from the inside. You've created this spiritual environment where your spirit is engaging outside of your physical body. So when you walk into a room, if you engage your spirit and send out like a spiritual electromagnetic pulse, if you like, because the spirit operates in a wavelength or a frequency that we can't see with our natural eyes or hear with our natural ears, but actually our bodies can detect it because our body is an amplifier of frequency. And so that's how he described it. So it's like my spirit can look out, almost like send out a signal and receive it back, and then that goes into my body, it receives those vibrations, those frequencies, and that then gets translated into my brain as a complete description of what there is there. So for instance, you know, I can see where you are, the angels that are around you, and I can choose to turn it on and off. Because if I didn't turn it on and off, it can be really, really freaky. So I can choose when I engage that and when I don't engage it. So I can see the angels that are around you, and I can describe them. So, Ron, you have 2 angels around you.